The Lord be with you.
And with
your spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of the commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said that your ancestors said, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponents quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it is said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. In today's Gospel reading, Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms that he is calling us to a more deeper understanding of the Mosaic Law. He is telling us that Christianity requires a much more than an external observation of religious law, and that it is primarily and fundamentally a matter of internal intentions and motivation that promotes people to keep the law. He shows us by saying over and over again, "You have heard the commandment imposed on your forefathers. but I say to you. And then he proceeds to speak about interior dispositions of the heart. Things like anger and peace, lust and love, falsehood and truthfulness. Telling us to do the right thing, not because it is commanded, but simply because we have the right disposition within us, because our heart and conscience have been schooled by the Holy Spirit in what is right and what is wrong. This is what Bishop Barron calls right worship. What Jesus is asking for is not our automatic act of blind, unanswering obedience to some impersonal law or exterior authority, but rather the free, conscientious choice and decision made by people who are what Paul calls spiritually mature, with a wisdom, as Paul says, that God has revealed to them through the Holy Spirit. For example, consider two main types of people who come to Mass each Sunday. One type comes because the law imposed upon him by the church. They come only to fill the law, the obligation. But there they participate passively with indifferences and distractions, just waiting for it to be over, and often leave before the final blessing. They know that they should be more involved in the Mass, and that God's words are being spoken, and receiving communion allows them to stretch their legs for a little bit. And during Mass, their mind is mostly filled with thoughts of activities for after Mass. Now, the other type of person comes not because of the law, not because they are obligated, but because they appreciate communal worship as being an essential to living a Christian life. And therefore, they want to come to Mass. They yearn to come to Mass. It brings them great pleasure. They participate actively. They are open and alive to the message and being, and to hear God's word gives them great joy. And then they know that the Eucharist is truly the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the life blood of the church and of their soul. Both now have kept the law. They have filled the obligation. Well, which one's closer to God? Do you see how much different each of these approaches are? How much more mature and responsible one is over the other? And yet, how much more demanding one is over the other, but yet how much more satisfying. Now, Jesus does not loosen our moral requirements of Moses, but tightens them in this reading. As Jesus said to his apostles, "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill them. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place." The practice of the Mosaic law did not go far enough, as Jesus is saying. The old Mosaic law governed externally. But unless you want to go an interior transformation as well, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. In the remainder of the gospel, we come to learn that this interior transformation can only be accomplished through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to fulfill God's love perfectly, not necessarily externally, but also internally. Jesus' teaching in this passage tends to direct our attention to the interior disposition, like anger, that are the roots of exterior actions like violence and murder. Jesus' moral standard is such, demands more than what the Pharisees show. The Pharisees tend to have been concerned only with exterior performances of the law. And they became expert in development, contorted and convoluted legal chains of reasoning in order to circumvent the demands of the divine law. In particular, they permitted divorce and remarried for any reason that's come up, even if the man decided he liked the younger woman better than the older one. The Pharisees and the scribes' effort to extrapolate legal reason in order to get around clear demands of morality and divine law was what Jesus was so radically opposed to. This is why he had the Sermon on the Mount. This is what the Sermon on the Mount is all about. He's tightening that which he wants us to live by. Not because he can, not because he has the power, because he loves us and he wants us to reach a fuller state in the Holy Spirit, to come to know him better in love. He warns his followers, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of scribes and the Pharisees, whose righteousness was largely external and relied on external actions according to the traditions or traditional interpretations of the old law. It was not righteousness motivated by law, but motivated by actions. It was a righteousness that said, what is the least amount of effort that I have to exert in order to receive the most that I can get away with and still not formally break the divine command? Jesus' attitude toward righteousness is like the attitude of the psalmists. And the attitude of the psalmist mostly was, the will of God is the only thing I desire. And what action might I perform this day that will be most pleasing to God? This is an internal idea. Finally, it is this scriptural understanding of the real meaning and the place of law that enables us to fully appreciate and ultimately the only law that governs Christians is the law of love. And this is why St. Augustine says, love and do what you will. That is, love is not obliged or bound by the law, but it is beyond and above the law. God bless.